Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of American Golf Association's Golf Swing from the Ground Up, coming to you on the Baden Hill Radio Network, BHTN, with your hosts, MJ, and Master Golf Teaching Professional, Chris Warner. How are you doing today, Chris?
Hey, I'm doing fantastic. Just looking at this great weather. Anybody out there that's listening that's anywhere in the Houston area or experiencing the same type of weather, this is the day to get out there. It's about 65 degrees. 60 right now, but it's going to go up to about 55, and the humidity is about 55, so it's just perfect out there. So don't stay inside. Get out there, get some sunshine, hit a bucket of balls, stay in shape. Get out there and enjoy that weather.
It's a great idea. And if you just happen to want to finish listening to the show before you go out and do that, and you'd like to give us a quick call, you can call us at 347-326-9154. You can also tweet us at American Golf ASN. And as usual, you can email us at info@my-aga.org. Again, that's info@my-aga.org. And we'd be more than happy to answer any of your questions throughout the week. Whenever something comes up, you're not really sure whether it's related to the rules of golf, anything, golf equipment, anything like that. And again, stretching, warm-ups, you name it, we'll try to answer it the best that we can. That's why we call the segment of the show Anything and Everything Golf, and we review it all for you. As usual, we like to get things started off with our joke of the week, and it's the amazing golf ball. I don't know if you've got one of these, Chris, but it's truly amazing. A golfer playing around by himself. Yeah, probably need a few of these, but... you may only need one. So the golfer is about ready to tee off, and a greasy little salesman runs up to him and yells, "Hey, wait, before you tee off, I have something really amazing to show you." The golfer, annoyed, says, "Well, what is it?" "It's a special golf ball," says the salesman. "You can never lose it." "Well, what do you mean?" shouts the golfer. "You can never lose it. What if you hit it in the water?" "No problem," says the salesperson. "It floats, and it detects where the shore is, and it spins toward it." "Well, what if you hit it into the woods?" "Easy," says the salesperson. "It emits a beeping sound, and you can find it with your eyes closed." "Okay," says the golfer, impressed. "But what if your round goes late and gets dark?" "No problem, sir. The golf ball glows in the dark, and I'm telling you, you can never lose this ball." The golfer buys it at once. "Oh, hey, and just one question," he says to the salesperson, "where did you get it?" "I found it." Oh, so that means somebody actually did lose it. Oh, man.
Somebody else didn't have it. They misused it.
Maybe it swam to the other side of the lake and he couldn't get over to it. Those are good. I love it. Man. And that brings us on to this week's golf trivia contest. So it's a very interesting one. So before we get to this week's question, let's review last week's results. And last week's question was, who finished second the most times at the Masters? And I can tell you that wasn't me. But the question again is, who finished second the most times at the Masters? And Chris, who would you guess those people would be?
I tell you what, it's a painful bit of information because I can only imagine being in those shoes. And the answer to that is Ben Hogan, Jack Nicklaus, and Tom Weisskopf. And they all finished four times in second place. So you can imagine, with all of the Masters that Jack Nicklaus had won, that's the one that grabbed me of all of them. Can you imagine second place four times if he had just – I don't know how bad he lost those. You know, it might have been by a stroke or something. He might have been in sudden death or something. But he would be up to, what, 10 Masters? Could you imagine?
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
Yeah, that's incredible. And, you know, even Tom Weisskopf or Ben Hogan, even if those guys would have won those four second places, it's just truly incredible. But anyway,
yeah,
the individual who got it right.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. The guy who got it right last week was Pete Y from Irving for his correct answer. He won an American Golf Association membership where he'll save up to 80% on green fees on over 100,000 tee times at over 5,000 courses nationwide. And he'll be able to manage his USGA handicap index. And that's just incredible. So congratulations, Pete.
Very good.
Well done indeed. Well, let's move on to this week's question. And this one might be a little bit more challenging for folks. I know it was for me. So this week's question, who achieved a near miracle when he holed two consecutive holes in one at the 11th and 12th holes, 195 yards and 311 yards, respectively, in the 1971 Martini Tournament at Norwich, England? Wow, this is going back a little ways. But the question again, who achieved a near miracle when he holed two consecutive holes in one at the 11th and 12th holes, 195 yards and 311 yards, respectively, in the 1971 Martini Tournament at Norwich, England? Yeah, this is a good one. You'll have to do a little bit of research on this. And I think the odds of doing that are like 1 in 74 million.
Well, what just I look at is it's a martini. It's a martini tournament. Was everybody drinking martini?
You know, very good question. And maybe they had double vision and they just thought they saw two holes. That's awesome. I love it.
Would have been a gopher hole.
Yeah, exactly. But anyway, went in. And apparently it was recorded and registered, so that's all good. So if you think you know the answer, send the answer in an email to trivia@my-aga.org. Again, that's trivia@my-aga.org. And if you email us the correct answer, you could win a free American Golf Association membership. And each individual who emails with the correct answer by the deadline will be entered into a drawing for the free membership. So be sure to include your contact information. And the deadline to receive your answer for this week's question is midnight Central Standard Time on January 24th. So good luck, everybody, and might take a little research to get that one. Or better yet, go out and try to do it yourself and then make new history.
There you
go.
That's
totally awesome. I love it. So with that, let's move on to our rules of golf. And again, this is one of our more popular features that we do each week. So here's the rule. Decision 18-2A/26. The ball has been dislodged from a tree when the player climbs the tree to play the stroke. So picture this. Player hits the ball and it actually lodges in the tree. I'm thinking of something, you know, big, like a big old pecan tree here in the Houston area, or a live oak, probably maybe a cypress tree or something. Probably not a pine tree, because boy, once you touch those branches, it will come right down. So here's the question, and this actually happened. I can't remember what tournament it was. It might have been the Masters, where Tiger actually hit it into a bush, and it stayed in a bush. And I believe it was he was playing with Annika Sorenstam, and anyway, it was very interesting. I think he was going to play it from the bush. And then the ball, I think, fell out. But anyway, I'll have to look it up. It was interesting. So it actually has happened on a televised tournament. So here's the question. A player is climbing a tree to play a ball that is lodged in the tree, and the ball falls to the ground. Does the player incur a penalty? So, Chris, what's the answer on the ruling on that one?
Well, there's an absolute answer, and then there's, I want to say, a discretionary answer, because can you imagine all of the circumstances? You know, did the ball fall out of the tree because the tree got shook because the guy was climbing it, or was it, it fell out of the tree under its own natural weight? Timing was coincidental. So it's really one of those gray areas. The actual rule, the way that it's written, is yes, he would be penalized. It'd be a one-stroke penalty under Rule 18-2A, and the ball must be replaced. So let's say it's up in the tree, and you don't know where it fell from. It was just up in the tree. How are you going to go replace it? And second of all, how are you going to play it? This is one of those I can't imagine going by that rule. I think it's time to buy a beer from your buddies and call it a day.
Yeah, really. Yeah, or maybe, you know, if you could reach it with a club from up there, you could probably try to knock it out and then play it where it lays, I suppose.
Yeah, I had one time in a world amateur tournament in Myrtle Beach one time where it was actually in some, what do they call the sea oats, but it's that tall grass, and the ball was actually elevated off the ground and stuck in that. So I played it out of that. And it was more like a baseball swing, of course, than a golf swing because it was, you know, well above my knee. But that was something well within reach. But up a tree, I don't know how you could replace that, and much less how you could play it. So a little vague on that one.
Yeah, it is. And again, these things have certainly happened before. That's why these rules got put in there. So, yeah, very interesting dilemma. So the number one rule we like to talk about then is always play from the short grass. That always gives you the best chance at getting it onto the green or near the green.
You don't have to worry about trees.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly right. Love it.
Amen.
And now let's move on to our featured event, which is the Food City Charity Golf Tournament. It always sounds good. Got lots of food there. And it's on Tuesday, May 12th. 2015 at the Sevierville Golf Club, located at 1444 Old Knoxville Highway in Sevierville, Tennessee. And it's their goal to partner.
Yeah, Sevierville, Tennessee, that's part of Pigeon Forge, Gatlinburg area. It's like three little cities, one right after the other. Talk about a vacation mecca. But those are good old mountain people, country people, and they're all very charitable. So this has got to be a really good event. Like I say, good food.
Yeah, indeed. And they've been doing this for quite a while. And you know, I've not been to Tennessee, oh, dare I say, in a long, long time. It's been quite a while since I've been through there. But when I looked up this, like you said, the area is just absolutely spectacular. And I can't imagine Tennessee is not much, you know, more of a real highlighted tour spot, because my goodness, the vistas and the views and the courses there are fantastic. So just that whole area, like you said, is basically certainly underrated in a sleeping giant, if you will, someplace you really got to get out to, because it's just tremendous, tremendous place. And then, of course, when they do the Food City Charity Golf Tournament there, they partner with a whole bunch of nonprofit organizations throughout the tri-state area. And they basically pull it all together, and it's really, really nice. And what they do is they benefit a number of charities in the area, in the tri-state area. And, boy, this list is huge. But I'll start reading off some of the ones so you can get a flavor of you know, how big this event is and how many people they're able to help. So they help out the Second Harvest Food Bank, and I've always been a big fan of the Second Harvest. I don't know if you're familiar with that, Chris, but that's where groups go around and they, instead of restaurants throwing out their food at the end of the day, they donate it to Second Harvest, who then takes it and gives it to homeless people who need something to eat. So it's a win-win for everybody. The restaurant doesn't have to pay to have it thrown away.
Right. You know, that's one of those things. Places out there in the country and places like this, they're real good about that. Unfortunately, in the bigger cities, there's so much liability that they won't allow somebody to take their food away, you know, grocery stores and things. It's sad. They make them, you know, they throw it away and they won't allow anybody to take it. So I wish they did more of this. Really do.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. And I think it's such a great idea. And, of course, you know, we got to figure out some way to limit the liability or give zero liability to whoever donates that. Because I read a number just recently, and it was like the average American basically doesn't consume, but we'll call it purchases, 1.5 times as much as they actually use. So they're throwing away 1.5 times more food than they actually eat.
Yep.
That means we could feed an entire country the size of the U.S. and then another one half the size of the U.S. with the amount of food we just throw away.
That's
just
it.
Too incredible. So
the rest of it we wear on your hip.
yeah, exactly. So other folks that they help out at the Food City Charity Golf Tournament, they help out the Junior League, Food for All, Carr Foundation, the Boy Scouts of America, United Way, March of Dimes, Make-A-Wish Foundation, Juvenile Diabetes, Food for Thought, American Red Cross, East Tennessee Children's Hospital, Santa Pals, okay, Race Against Drugs, Helen Ross McNabb Center, Bristol Public Library, ETSU College of Pharmacy, Paramount Center for the Arts, American Cancer Society, Alzheimer's Association, Project Help, Salvation Army, Toys for Tots, Kiwanis Club, Paralyzed Veterans of America, the Speedway Children's Charities, Mission of Hope, Love Kitchen, Lost Sheep Ministries, Habitat for Humanity, Susan G. Coleman for The Cure, Kids Helping Kids, and quite a number of other ones as well. And so they have a nice big event out there on May 11th, the day before the tournament. They have a dinner and charity auction at the Sevierville Event Center. The dinner and registration is from 6 to 8 p.m. The auction opens up at 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. And the auction awards are on site there at 8:15 p.m. So even if you're not a golfer, please join them for dinner and make your donation count. And then, of course, the following day, on May 12th, is the charity golf event. Breakfast begins at 6:30 a.m., and lunch will be immediately following the golf, and then the awards immediately following the lunch. So there is they've actually got two courses out there. The Sevierville Golf Club, the shotgun start is at 8:30 a.m., so you got plenty of time to warm up, have breakfast starting at 6:30, and then, of course, the River Islands Golf Club, also shotgun start at 8:30. And if you like more information on the event, especially if you're heading to the area or you live in the area, go to www.foodcitycharitygolf.com. That's all one word, foodcitycharitygolf.com. So, man, I'm just amazed at how many different folks that help out there, and they've got two courses. So plan a day and a half out there, plan the night before, and maybe get yourself something in the auction, which will have a donation for a good cause, some great dinner, and then the next day go out there and hit the balls around, and it's all for a good cause, for a lot of good cause.
Plan on eating a lot of apple pie and fried chicken.
Oh, I'm in on that. A couple of my favorite. I love it. Well, with that, let's turn to this week's featured golf course so we can get on to our golf review. And this week's featured course is the Clinchview Golf Club. And this is located in Bean Station, Tennessee, out there at 970 Highway 11 West. So have you ever been out there, Chris?
No, but I know about where that is because I know where Highway 11 is.
Well, awesome. I love it. And again, this is another one of those courses. It's just, wow, spectacular. So it's framed in the majestic valley of the Clinch Mountains in eastern Tennessee. Clinchview will challenge and inspire you with its covered wooden bridge, four water hazards, numerous berms, trees, and natural areas. Clinchview is as fun to play as it is beautiful to look at. Lushly landscaped and expertly maintained, the 6,901-yard course features tight Bermuda grass, fairways, and fast undulating bent grass green. Five sets of tees, a hardy but generous first cut of Bermuda rough, and sand traps make Clinchview a challenge for golfers at every skill level. Simply pick the tee that best suits your game, and Clinchview Golf Club is a perfect host for your next corporate outing or charitable tournament. They have dining facilities for seating up to 100 guests, and there's room for just about everybody. So that's awesome, and it truly is a really awesome course when you look at it. But this is even better. Here's an example of your savings at our featured course, Clinchfield Golf Club, for an 8:45 a.m. tee time on January 23rd. So you still got time to get out there. You could enjoy a 53% savings using your AGA membership. The cost is $15, including the cart, where it normally costs $32. Yeah, it's a $17 savings for one player and a $68 savings for your foursome. And again, these savings are not available when you try to book a tee time directly with the course. And with your AGA membership, you can save up to 80% on tee times at over 5,000 courses nationwide by using our online tee time booking engine found at my-aga.org. And also included in your membership is the AGA USGA Handicap Service and the AGA Mobile Golf Course GPS. So if you'd like more information on the Clinchfield Golf Club, go ahead and visit their website at www.clinchfieldgolfclub.net. Again, that's all one word, clinchfieldgolfclub.net. And, yeah, you get a great value getting out there and playing an awesome course. Again, another area that we've got to get out to and spend a week and play as many courses as we possibly can.
Yeah, that's a beautiful area out there, like I said, in East Tennessee. It's real close to where the event is. So there's nothing but beauty out there. It's good nature.
Absolutely. So with that, let's go to our next feature, this week's featured item. And Chris, take it away, sir.
Yeah, we've only got a few moments left in the show, but we always like to try to cover this particular item, maybe give a little focus to it, bring it up. I'm always getting items sent to me and ask, you know, people asking for their opinions. They'd like to get it on our website and get the reviews on it and everything else. What I'd like to look at this week is putter. Called the radius roll putter. Now, the concept behind it, of course, people spend a lot of money on putters when they ever really step up to the plate and get a quality putter. And what you're looking for is a single milled putter. This just means it doesn't have an insert on the face of it. The idea of the inserts were to contour the face so that when the ball makes direct contact with it, it's to eliminate skipping, this type of thing. And then, of course, they add and subtract loft on the face of the club, so they're tweaking with it, but in order to get the right energy transfer, and especially since this is a delicate part of your swing or your game, then touch and energy transfer is extremely important. So a single milled putter is ideal, and that's usually going to be your more expensive putters. And of course, Scotty Cameron is known as the pinnacle, if you will, of the putters in general standards are made by Titleist. A radius roll, they manufactured a putter that is very much like it. If you didn't know the difference or didn't see the advertisement, you really wouldn't know one from the other. But the idea of the radius roll putter is the face of it is actually slightly bowed out, if you will. It's contoured in a concave manner. And this is a way of getting the ball to roll without skipping. And that's very important because you're getting a truer roll. You can control the distance better. Not as much the direction because the face angle is what establishes that. But getting the ball to roll immediately gives you a truer roll. And, again, you can regulate your putts better distance-wise. And pace is 50% of your, you know, putting stroke. So you can go to www.radius, R-A-D-I-U-S, roll, and you can look at it. They've got about six or seven different models you can choose from. So whether you like a mallet type of a putter, a heavy putter, a light putter, the old-fashioned looking putter, the blade putter, saber-tooth looking putter, they've got all kinds. But they're single-milled putters. They're very high quality, and they're certainly something you might want to give in consideration when you're searching for your next putter. They're balanced, and like I say, there's something there to meet everybody's needs. So check that out, radius roll putter. And one of the things that I did with mine, you know, I tried somebody else's putter, and they put the Super Stroke grip on there, the fat grip. Of course, I wanted to get, you know, something bigger than what I had. And I tried this person's, and I think he had a 2.0, which is a fatter putter, but it wasn't the biggest one they make. Well, when I went up to go get the grip on, I wasn't really paying attention. So I said, just put the big boy on there. Well, They did exactly what I asked them to, and they put the 5.0, which is huge. But you know what? I tried that, and I wouldn't go back the other way. So that's another thing that you might want to consider is go to a store where they sell clubs and play around with that and see how it feels in your hands. The amazing thing is it takes the hands out of the stroke. It makes it much easier. It feels more like a wall coming at the ball instead of a putter. It takes the rotation out. It takes the hands out and allows you to use the shoulders, which is what you should be doing in the first place. And it was a great discovery for me. So I tripped across something that really made a difference. And I've pulled a few strokes off of my game just by that all in itself. So, again, check out Radius Roll Putter. And when you get a chance, check out some of those Super Stroke Fat grips. Make a difference in your game.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah, and I saw that too and tried out the larger grip, and that's exactly what I want to do. I want to be able to, you know, get a decent putter, and this Radius Roll Putter sounds like a great option. And to me, I would have thought, you know, having the contour on the face of the putter would have actually made it worse. But now that I think about it, when you're saying it, have that combination with the curve on the face of the putter, getting it to roll truer when you strike the ball, and then also with the grip to take your hands out of it, boy, that can shave, you know, for guys like me, 1 or 2 strokes off per hole.
Yeah.
You know, if you can get that to roll truer and take out all the bad habits or help reduce the bad habits, that would be spectacular.
Well, the more variables that you can eliminate, the easier it is to monitor your swing and to repeat your swing or your motion. That's really important. And the thing is just the bulge on the face of that putter hits the ball right at the equator. So my thought was if you're above the equator, it's pushing the ball down and it would pop it. So that happens to not be what's going on. It hits at the equator and it's amazing how solid it feels. It rolls really true. And you get a feel, you can feel it when you strike the ball. It's just very solid every single time. So, you know, I really like this putter.
Yeah, that's awesome. And, you know, like we mentioned before, now you mentioned it quite a bit, Chris, that the most strokes that you take are with your putter in any round of golf.
And yeah, that's 50% of your game.
Yep. A lot of folks focus on the driver. They want to get distance and so forth. And, yeah, focusing on a driver is a good deal. But if you want to do the old 80-20 rule, the best focus is to focus on the short game with the putter. Get that stroke going and then work on – work on other components of your swing. So, well, with that, we're getting down to time here. So I want to make sure that we thank everybody, our top-notch staff, supporters, sponsors, and a special thanks to our volunteers. Of course, we couldn't do it without the volunteers. And again, thank you, Chris, for another awesome show. And if you do have any questions throughout the week, be sure to send us an email to info@my-aga.org. And Chris and I will have a look at that, and we'll definitely get an answer back to you as soon as we possibly can. So until then, be sure to follow us on LinkedIn and like us on Facebook. And Napoleon Hill reminds us that is literally true, that you can succeed best and quickest by helping others to succeed. So at the AGA, we're changing the game, and the fuse is lit. So have a great afternoon, everybody.
All righty.
Thanks, Chris.
Have a good day.